This morning we're blessed to have these gentlemen from Loving Hands Ministry. They're going to tell you about Loving Hands Ministry. They're going to tell you what it means to them. And they're going to tell you about their journey. And they're going to tell you about where that journey is going to end. Although I have a sneaking suspicion you know where it's going to end. Nonetheless, they've come to share with you Travis Vizzini. Close.
It's different up there anyway.
Okay. I think he's kind of the in charge person here this morning. So we're going to turn the service over to Loving Hands Ministry. Yes. Yeah, that one. It's got plenty of cord. You can take it back down wherever you want to go. Lord bless you, gentlemen.
Good morning. So as he said, my name is Travis, and I am actually the intake director for Loving Hands Ministries. And who hasn't heard of Loving Hands in here? Praise God. At least there's one, maybe. So, but we are a two-year minimum discipleship ministry for men with addiction. So the men spend about 6 to 7 hours a day in the classroom being taught the Bible, because the Bible says to receive the implanted word that'll save your souls, right?
Amen.
The biggest thing, when I read scripture, I try and just think of things that pertain almost to the ministry of what I could see it like, right? And so back in 1984, Pastor Wendell Wilson was actually going into the jails. He'd watch men get set free, right? Because people call it jailhouse religion, right? But the thing is it's real. These guys are getting transformed. They're getting set free in jail. The only issue is they still have to get out of jail, right? And what happens when you get out of jail? The enemy's waiting, right? It says that he's sitting at the door crouching, right? Waiting to pounce. But the problem is these guys, when they get out, they go back to the same broken homes, the same old friends, and they think that they're going to transform their life. And don't get me wrong, Christ is more powerful than any of that, right? But the problem is there's an old saying that if you go to the barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. So if you sit in that chair for too long, it's only a matter of time where you're going to see that barber, right? So, and that's usually what happens. These men will be around those people and influences, and it's easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull your friends up. And that's the problem, is like we get this newfound freedom, right? How many have been there when you first got saved? It was like, man, God changed my life. I'm free. And the thing is I want to go share it with everybody, right? So the next thing I know, I think I'm going to pull them up out of that same lifestyle. But the problem is I'm not strong enough and I get pulled back in. And that's what Pastor Wendell knew. So as time went on, he kept seeing these men get out and they come back in. Get out, come back in. And he knew that something needed to change. So God placed a seed in his heart called Loving Hands Ministries. And he was actually pastoring, him and his wife, Miss Nancy, were pastoring a church much like this, right? And then God put it on his heart that something more needed to be done for these men. And he gave them the vision of Loving Hands Ministries. And the men spend 6 to 7 hours a day in the classroom being taught the Bible. They memorize 3 scripture verses every 10 days, do a faith-based book and book report every 10 days. And all I could think about was this story in the Bible, the Pool of Bethesda, right? We know about this guy and he's sitting in his infirmities, and it said for 38 years, right? But it talks about the 5 porches. And I don't know, when I was like meditating and thinking about it, all I could think about was like jail, right? And waiting, it said that he was waiting for somebody to come put him in the water. He says, I have no man to put me in the water, right? Well, most of us, I know I can raise my hand in it, most of us were sitting there waiting. We didn't know how to get in this pool, right? But the great thing is you guys were speaking about it all this morning with communion and everything. We don't have to wait on a man anymore. It's Jesus, right? It said that I have no man to put me in the water. Well, Christ walked up to him, right, and said, do you want to be made well? Well, he was the water now. The water came. Right? That we don't have to be put in the water or wait for some angel to come down and stir the water up, right? We can stir it up ourselves. That's what we did right here in worship. And I also wanted to share, man, if you ever get a chance, especially in this church, you guys are amazing singers. Just sit. Don't everybody do it at one time, because then nobody's singing. But just sit and close your eyes and allow God to minister to you by allowing everybody else to sing and just listen. Because that's what heaven is. It's everybody worshiping God. And it was just so amazing to sit here and close my eyes and listen. But our biggest ministry here is we share testimonies, right? Because that was the other part about it, is like, once you get saved, what do you want? You want to tell somebody about it. And that's what I loved about Pastor Wendell's vision for this ministry, that it's not about just sitting in the classroom getting transformed or whatever, because Revelations 12:11 says that they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. And what? They didn't love their lives to the death. Everybody forgets that last part. Well, this is not loving their lives to the death. I hope you have your heart's open, because it's not easy to get up here and share how you used to walk little old ladies across the street, and I used to carry their groceries, and I used to go mow lawns. No, I was stealing. I was taking from my family. I was taking from other people. I was ruining lives. That's what I was doing. So that's what these men get up to share about, but God transformed them, right? Amen. Right? And then for the young folks, if there's any in here, like, don't start listening to these testimonies talking about, like, oh, wow, that's cool, you went to prison. Or that's cool, you went to jail. Or this and that, because I can tell you it says the word of your testimony. Right? That's, to me, the Jesus in your testimony. It has nothing to do with going to jail or prison or anything like that. It's about the Christ that brought me out of those places. Amen. That's the amazing part. That's the cool part, at least in my eyes now. Right? So we'll get into some testimonies. Mr. Carlos, you want to share?
Good morning, Sher. My name is Carlos. I'm 33 years old. I'm from Miami, Florida. I grew up in a Christian family. At the age 16, 15, I started using alcohol and drugs. I was more alcoholic. I say I was because I'm a new creation in God. So I was serving in the church, but at the same time walking this world, drinking. Oh, God is a jealous God. He don't like part of you. He want all. So you can be or hot or cold. You can be in the middle. So little by little with the enemy, take from me my all the good stuff. For my addiction, I lose the mother of my child. I have a daughter, 7 years old, Natalie. It's hard, but sometimes, you know, we have to make a sacrifice like Jesus made for us in the cross. So I went 6 times at the hospital for pancreatitis. The doctor told me that if I keep going drinking, I'm going to be dead. So one day I finished job. I wasn't home. I asked God if I don't want this for my life. I don't want to keep going like that. I know about this program 2 years before. My mom, I have a mother like praying for me always. She's a warrior. As mom, I have to change, so I come to Loving Hands. Since that, I've been 7 months here, getting deep in the world, made my relationship with God better. Like I say, it's hard, but Jesus said that there is no one who has left mother, wife, and kid for the sake of kingdom of heaven, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in eternal life. So I hold to His promise. I want Jesus shine to me, to my people, to my family, to my community, to like they see the change that Jesus can do for me. So day after day is hard, like I say, but with God, everything is possible. So I'm gonna live with my life verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things to Christ who is strengthening me. Thank you.
So he was mentioning that it's hard, right? Well, let me just mention a couple reasons why it's hard, okay? For one, who wants to sign up for 2 years? I mean, there's no difference in going into the military, right? You sign your time away, right? Your life, right? You leave your family behind. You leave your children behind if you have them. That was one of my excuses why I wasn't coming in here. I was like, I'm not leaving my son. This and that. The enemy will use whatever he can to keep you from your promise and your purpose. You know what I mean? Even the good things. We've had wives show up on property and say, hey, you look great. It's time to go. And I don't know why God keeps giving me this analogy, but you know, at Thanksgiving, right? You can't take the turkey out too early or it's not going to be any good, right? Don't take it out of the oven yet. God knows what He's doing. He's the perfect chef. He has the best recipe for your life. And sometimes it takes what it takes to get where you got to go, right? So there's that, right? There's no TVs, no newspapers, no cell phones. It's a minimum of 14 months before you're even eligible for a phone. It's a flip phone. Who still has one? Anybody have a flip phone? It's like sending out a SOS. It takes you an hour to send, hello, how are you? So these guys like get humbled when they get that first phone, you know what I mean? But it's for ministry use only, so there's no internet or anything like that. Then after 17 months, they're eligible for a smartphone. How many know they're not smart? So, but at the same time, they're eligible for that. They can begin when they're allowed to start communicating with their family on their own, right? Because after 30 days, they can write letters. After 60 days, they can make phone calls as long as they're not on discipline. And after 90 days, they can begin to have visits. Visits are anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. So we'll go ahead and get into some more testimony. What's up, Mike? I was going to look at you and call on Nick just to mess with you. No, you're good. Come on.
All right, good morning. My name's Mike. I grew up in Michigan. Apparently I have an accent. I didn't know that before I came down here to Florida, but everybody makes fun of me over it. But, yeah, I'm 33 years old. I'm actually a graduate of Loving Hands. I graduated from the Palmetto campus last November. Praise God. 2 years. You know, in that 2 years, God has just done amazing things in my life. History. My dad, he was an alcoholic growing up. And, you know, I saw these things getting older and older. And I eventually took that burden on myself, started going to the bottle. Turned 19, graduated high school, 19 years old. I ended up getting married, had a beautiful baby girl. 2 weeks later, I was shipped off to basic training. I decided to join the Army National Guard for a little while. Thought I had the whole world in my hands. Didn't have God in my life. You know, even everybody's telling me, Mike, you need God in your life. And I just didn't understand it at the time. I had to go through some things. You know what I mean? We all have to go through some things. But it was good because God uses bad and turns it to good. And He uses that. He doesn't waste anything. He uses everything. And I had to go through some things to see that, to see God actually working in my life. You know, people called me a deadbeat dad, an alcoholic, a drug addict, all these things. That's what the world called me. That's what I called myself because that's where how I seen myself. But come to know the Lord, that's not how He sees me. That's not my identity. And it took me a while to understand that. The Lord has just restored so much in my life since I submitted myself. And I wanted to change my life because God came to me. And it took a very broken man to do that, to come to the Lord. And I just called out to Him one night in Michigan. I had nothing left. I was homeless. I lost everything. Nobody wanted anything to do with me. And it was probably like negative 30-something degrees out. You know, I've been outside for a long time. A couple of you guys are from Michigan. You know how cold it gets up there. And I just called out to God. I'm like, Lord, I know this is not what You have for me. This is not what I'm supposed to. You have a purpose for me. Just reveal it to me. And I don't know how You're going to do that, but just reveal it to me. So come to find out, all the way down here in Florida, Palmetto, Florida, at the Palmetto campus, I had a cousin. His name is Keith Stolte. I never knew he was my cousin. I never met him before in my life. But come to find out, he's the program director of the Loving Hands Ministry Palmetto. And I'm like, okay. And I heard about what God did in his life. He's 9 years clean, graduate from the program, got a beautiful wife and a baby girl now, nice truck, house. He figured it out because he gave his life to Jesus, and he wants to be more and more like Jesus. I'm like, okay, I want to do that. Well, it took me a couple tries because I was here before and I left. I looked at the rule book, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. And it's hard to surrender your phone and all these things, your cigarettes and, you know, women or whatever it is. You just got to lay all that down. You have to want it. Just like anything else, you have to want it. You have to want change. And since I've been in the ministry, though, you know, I've gotten baptized in the Manatee River. I get to talk to my daughter. I've seen my daughter when they wouldn't have drove 5 minutes down the road to see me before. They're flying across all the way down here just to see me. I got to hear my dad say on the phone that he loved me for the very first time in my life. I mean, that's God right there. You know? And know, I just get to walk this thing out. I'm healthy. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you know, He knows who I am too. That's the most important thing in my life, that He knows me. That He's not going to tell me to depart from Him, for I never knew you. It's like there was this thing that Paul Washer said, and that I really like. He said, you go to the White House and say, hey, I know the president, let me in. And do you think they're going to let you in? Probably not. But if you go to the White House and the president says, hey, it's okay, I know him, bring him in, He's going to let you in. But God is a God of restoration. He likes to clean us on the inside, not just look good on the outside. That comes with it. But, you know, just restoring my relationships, my family is really important to me too. My daughter loves me. She misses me. It's hard being away from her, but if I keep walking this thing out and I'm obedient to the Lord, you know, I'm coming on as a staff intern. I want to serve, give back to my brothers, and just give back to the community and be useful and a vessel for the Lord. And all good things are going to happen out of that.
Amen.
But everything else is going to come too. But I just want to leave you a scripture. I've been kind of talking for a while, I feel like. But it's Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. And the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Thank you.
So, you know, these guys know I get to share the ministry all the time. And, you know, one thing I always speak is it's easy to come into churches and go to a different church and a different church and do the same thing every time I go. But I don't know about you guys, but I came here to hear from the Lord, too. You know what I mean? I didn't just come here to give you some good news or whatever. I want to hear, too. I don't want to just come here and be the presenter. But, like, the biggest thing that I kept hearing when he was speaking is, like, you were talking about how you didn't even know Keith. And I didn't even know that. Like, I'll just be honest with you. But all I could think about was Joseph, right? Like, Joseph goes through all this stuff in his life, like his cousin Keith, right? Because Keith has been arrested over 100 times. Okay, he's been to jail, he's been to prison, like all these things, the same type of things. Obviously, like, Joseph didn't do things to go to prison, but he was in those places, right? But at the end, right, at the end, he had the bread, he had the stuff to be able to give to his family, right? And then when they got there, they didn't recognize him, right? And I just thought, like, that's all I could think about is, like, that's what he's doing in all you guys. He's filling you up, and what, with Jesus, the bread of life. So when your family comes, you have something to give at the end, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have that sustenance that they need. I don't even know if I said that word right, because I didn't. I'm not schooled, but I tried. So, but my brother. Okay, this is my brother Isaiah. When did you get here?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Not to call him out, but, and I wouldn't say he's more important than anybody, but he's more important than anybody at this moment, because who's going to have the biggest target on their back? The newest guy. So, but I'm proud of you, man.
Good morning, church. Good morning. So I actually just came to the ministry on Thursday, and I decided to give my life to... And it's been a roller coaster with me. I've been dreading to come to this place for almost a year. I've been hearing about it for almost 3. But, I battled with addiction, marijuana, alcohol, pills, whatever I could get my hands on. And I'm only 21. So I'm just trying to, excuse me. I know I ain't never really shared my testimony like that, but. I try to find my happiness at the end of a bottle, and at the end of every pill bottle I could find. But I know God had me throughout it all.
Amen.
Because I had friends that passed away at the same age, probably younger as me. I never really knew my father like that, so I'm not going to say I didn't have a father figure, because I did also have brothers that serve the Lord now. My brother, Adrian Garcia, he just got out of the military about 7 years ago. And I want to say he gave his life to Christ about 3 years ago. And he was going through the same addictions as me, you know, trying to drink his way, his problems out. And I feel like God's doing miracles on me right now because, like I said, it took me a year to get here and to see my new brothers, my new family. And as soon as I got to that campus, it felt like a whole bubble of security. Like, I just felt safe because I've been ripping and running the streets my whole life. And it just feels different. I'm still trying to get used to it, you know, because I just came on Thursday. But God's going to work miracles. Amen. And I believe in that strongly. And I thank y'all for letting me tell my testimony. Thank you. Come on. So a verse that I wrote down the other day, and I've been thinking about it since Thursday because I wrote it down as soon as I got to the campus, and it's Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned but fallen short of glory of God." And I could represent that to the fullest because I've sinned a lot. And I know that's not what God's plan, but the glory of God is so much stronger than that. And people take that for granted because it's only the mustard seed. It's the size of a mustard seed of faith that you need to have for God to be able to move mountains. And that was just powerful for me. And I thank y'all for letting me have this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Listen. I'm going to share my testimony before Nick, because every time I try and share my testimony at the end, I mess it up or something anyway. So, plus, you know, almost at the end. Usually I go at the end because you got to like me up until that point. So, but we got enough time so everybody can share. But, man, just like when you hear these testimonies, right, all I can think about is what God revealed to me a long time ago, right? You got this set of keys, right? How many have came home at night and you stick the key in the door, right? And you're like, oh, not that one. It goes all the way in the door. Like, you can even turn it a little bit and you're like, man, you know what I'm saying? And you're fumbling in the dark, right? Because that's what we do. And you stick another one in there and another one, and then oh, man, there it is. Thank God. And you're inside the house, right? Well, that's what we do in our life, right? We stick alcohol in our heart, we stake drugs, relationships, jobs, money. We stick all these things in our heart, right? Thinking that that's going to unlock the door. And all of us have done that, not just people up on this stage. I know all of us have, right? Because what did he say? For all have fallen short of the glory of God. All. And I did that for a long time. Kept trying keys, thinking it would work, right? I'm trying to hold it together, y'all. But like my life, I grew up in a different way. I'm from Atlanta originally, and in and out of foster care. My dad beat the life out of me and my two brothers. I think he was just upset and angry because my mom and him split up and stuff. And I didn't realize it at the time. I realize now that it wasn't his fault. He operated out of hurt, right? I've operated out of hurt. I was that angry person that I took on those traits for the longest time in my life. And I was in and out of foster care. My mom turned into an alcoholic because my dad had money and she lost us kids. And when I was 21 or 22 or something like that, I had to fly out to Vegas. Her boyfriend beat her up, dropped her off to the hospital. And I had to fly out and pull the plug on her because she was brain dead. And just as time went on, I started drinking, partying, right? I told my dad, like, if you're gonna be angry and beat me, I'm going to give you a reason. I started stealing his car, all kind of things. By the time I was 16, I overdosed. By the time I was 21, I did everything from pulling a knife on an off-duty cop, stealing a car, multiple possessions, that was later. But just thefts, all kind of stuff, until I finally graduated. At 32, I was on my way to prison because I robbed a guy at an ATM in broad daylight in Sarasota, Florida. And I tried, yeah, exactly, you know. But this is me not loving my life to the death, because I'm not, no disrespect by this, but I don't care what you think, because God saved me. Amen. I'm not afraid to share about that any longer. I'm not afraid any longer to share about that. I used to be afraid to share about it, but this is God's grace, right? On my way to prison, I met my mentor, who was that guy, and I thought I needed him to put me in the water, but I needed Christ. I didn't need a man, but he had the water inside of him, and I didn't realize it at the time. And when I got out of prison, he was at the bus doorstop. He's like, I'm not going to let you make another mistake. And I didn't understand that type of love. And by the grace of God, unfortunately, I was like my brother. He kept telling me about the ministry. I'm like, I'm not going to be locked up again. If you guys have ever seen our schedule, it's strict. It's structured. Not strict. Structured. And I didn't want structure in my life at the time. I didn't realize it. But I didn't surrender, went back out, got more of those possessions that I was talking about. I have over 14 felonies. I don't even know. I lost count. But past that, I finally came to this ministry, and what I thought was going to be locked up has actually set me free. I have a relationship with my son. He was one of the excuses that I used, right? But finally, I ended up coming here, and now the same. I went to the passport place, right? And I'm like, do you think I can get a passport? And I told her my record, and she's like, I'm just letting you know, if you give me your money, you're probably going to lose it. But I heard at a church a guy had prophesied over my life and said that I was going to go on missions. And I gave her that money anyways. And I've been out of the country 3 times already, okay, because God can do whatever He wants. I'm going again for the 3rd time to Nicaragua in June. Just got back from Guatemala. And I go with my family. I'm married now. Pray for her. Praise God. She's never been on that side. God knew, I guess. So, but just the things that God has done in my life. My mentor went on to be with the Lord, but He gave me a gift that I could never give. He gave me life. And the biggest thing that I love about this church is Pastor Dan and other people, you believe in us. That's what we need. Because the thing that happened with me and my mentor is he came alongside me and he believed in me at first, right? And then once he believed in me, I'm like, man, I think he's kind of right. And I started to believe in myself. Then I came to the ministry and then I realized God believed in me. Amen. And it changed my whole life. Amen. And my life verse is Isaiah 43:18-19. It says, don't remember the former things nor the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I'm going to have Nick share. I also want him to. There's 4 different tracks at the end of this program. He's doing one of them, but I want him to expound on that and share. Don't feel like you got to be in a rush and share your testimony, okay?
Hi, everybody. My name is Nicholas Howell. And I'm 35. I'm from Bradenton. And I've been in the ministry coming up 24 months. Before coming to the ministry, I was stuck in my addiction for 17 years. It started when I was in high school. I dropped out and I joined a band. I play guitar. And I thought that's what I wanted to do for a living. And it was my escape from a bad home situation. Being in the band with a lot of older men, I was getting into bars and drinking. And we were just smoking pot. It started off slow like that. But before long it progressed, after 9 months I quit the band, but what I brought back was that addiction. Growing up I was always shy, and I had low self-esteem, so the alcohol and the drugs, it gave me a confidence I didn't have when I was sober. And before long, I started going to jail. I started doing harder and harder drugs. I was in and out of detox centers, halfway houses. I just couldn't quite get it under control. I know I needed to stop, but I couldn't quit doing what I wanted to do. And over the years, I think I've been arrested like 12 times. I've overdosed at least that many. I have a failed marriage. I have a beautiful 9-year-old daughter that I haven't held since she was 4. And nothing would get me to stop. I'd heard about Loving Hands from my grandmother in 2019. And she said, you can come stay here and get sober, and then I want you to go to this program. But as soon as I sobered up, I weaseled my way out of that. And I started working. I said, I'll help you out. Sounded good, and within just a few paychecks, I was back to those same habits, and I just hurt myself and hurt people for a few more years, and then in 2022, I finally made that surrender, the decision to come here, and it was the best decision I've ever made. I've got 2 years clean now, and I could have never done that without him. I could have never done that on my own. You pretty much had to lock me in a cage to get me to stop doing it before, and I'm not court ordered to be here. I can leave whenever. In my addiction, me and my mother would use, and that was part of the reason me coming here too, because I'd always look at her as my strength, and when she was actually my downfall, I had to look to God. She's got over a year clean now. Since I've came here and made her bring her life back to the Lord, I can now call my daughter and not feel ashamed. I'm sending money now. Like you said, I'm doing the work track. There's four tracks at the end where you can do. You can either stay on staff intern. You can, where you give back to the ministry, you work, program more, and you disciple the men. You can intern at a church. You can go to school, get some extra training. And I chose the work track because I'm trying to rush it. Like I said, you gotta wait there until you're ready to leave. So I'm gonna stay on and I'm gonna work and save money, get my life established. But what I'm learning through this process is to stay humble, not let the job get me puffed up, not let the fact that I have money now get me puffed up and think I can make decisions on my own. I still need to trust in the Lord. And we went yesterday and paid some fines off on my license in Bradenton. And I was like, I want to go back to Bradenton. Well, driving through there, I do not want to go back to Bradenton. And because there's just certain feelings that come up when you ride through places and you see places that you've used drugs before. And I don't want that to take me down. Because it's sobering, because I know I'm one bad decision from going right back to that addiction and getting right back on that train. And I know I can't do that. There's something inside that won't allow that. And I just, I got to continue to trust in God and trust in my leadership. And I'm going to stay planted out here in Dade City, I think, if God wills it. And I'm going to try to bring my mom out here and I'm going to try to get my kid back. God, right? And I'll leave you with my life verse, and that's Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, you'll reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Thank you.
Man, what powerful stories, right? Not stories, testimonies. I'm not to pick on the two back here, the younger folks. If you guys would be open enough, I just want to ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Little young girl.
Yes.
What do you want to be when you grow up? What is it? Okay, I've got a bad ear already. So, what about you, sir? What? Did anybody hear? I want to be an alcoholic. Yeah. What about a drug addict? Right. I don't think any of these guys, when they grew up, was like, you know what? Let me give that a try. Right. So next time when we're walking past somebody or whatever, and I got it for myself, too, because sometimes, listen, my compassion level is like this, because even through my addiction, you know what I did? I had a really good job. I took care of myself. Why? Because with the whole dad thing, I was like, I'm never going to let anybody tell me I can't do something. Right. That pride rose up inside of me. So I didn't think I had it that bad. So sometimes I can look at a guy on the corner or whatever and be like, man, you need to get it together and get a job or whatever. And then I have to check myself. And realize, who am I to judge, man? Because you never know. Nobody chose that for themselves, I promise you. Not one of them, when they were growing up as a kid, was like, you know what? I'm just going to be an alcoholic for the rest of my life. That's what I want to do. No. Right? So I just pray that you had your hearts open with this ministry. Unfortunately, in 2016, Pastor Wendell and his wife went on to be with the Lord. Well, I say unfortunately, but not, they're living their best life right now. Forgive me, Lord. I just got convicted. So, Pastor Wendell, it might have been him. Like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. But I want to honor Miss Kim, his daughter, right? Because you have these ministries, and whenever somebody passes away like that, right, they can just disperse the finances, close shop, and that be it. But Miss Kim stepped into this role, and I will tell you that she's anointed for this role. She's not feeling any shoes. She's feeling a calling because God placed this mantle on her, and I honor her. And she is the greatest mama bear that we have, I promise you. So for myself that doesn't have the mom in my life, she's an amazing one, I promise you. And she steps up, yes, oh, for real, because if you guys have met her, she is amazing, okay? And she cares about her kids, you know what I mean? But the other part of this ministry that's so, so amazing is it's free. How many people? I don't meet too many people in addiction that got money. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest. Unless if it's yours, they might have took yours. Sorry. You know what I mean? But that's the other great thing. Your cars are officially safe because we are clean. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. So, but just seriously, like, to be able to have a place for me to go for free. Listen, I do the intake. Remember, I get calls all the time. And they're like, so how much do you charge? What is it, like insurance or something like that? And I'm like, we are free. She was like, I just got off the phone with somebody where it's $30,000 a month. So you're trying to tell me that in my addiction, I got to come up with $30,000 a month. How? God's grace is sufficient, isn't it?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that He's an ever-present help in a time of need. And boy, I needed it. And there was a place for me to be able to come. And don't get it twisted. Like, we're not raising up lazy men. They have work projects during the day. They upkeep the property. We go out and serve the community in many different ways. They go out, spread mulch, whatever, for widows. There's a mowing ministry for a church out in Wesley Chapel that they go, I think, once a month and do it, like mow lawns. And I mean, we're out in the community. They're not just lazy sitting in the classroom. But the other great thing is God transforming these families. It's not just the men that's getting touched. It's going down and it's touching the families too. We have men where their mothers got set free, that they're saved now. And they're walking with God, right? Because God is just amazing. And He can do whatever He wants. So the biggest thing that I would ask, we have a table back there for shirts and hats and T-shirts for different donations. But there's a prayer sheet. We have time carved out in the day where we pray for outside needs. And I will tell you that I picked my own name out before I came here, or after I came here, and realized that they were praying for me. I didn't even realize my mentor had wrote down my name and called this place. And I got prayed into this ministry, and there's probably a whole lot more up here that don't even realize it. So I would ask that, for one of the biggest things, put your family members down on there, your grandsons, your children, whatever, your aunts, uncles, whatever it may be, and watch God work. Because believe in faith that He's doing it, right?
Amen.
Believe in faith that He's doing it. And just in closing, if God puts it on your heart to sow in this ministry, you're not sowing to us. You're sowing to God and what He's doing in it through this ministry. And you see the fruit. We come every year by the grace of God and by the love of this community right here to be able to share what God's doing. So you get to see Nick come, and then you get to see Nick graduate, right? That's the amazing thing. You get to watch the plant grow that you're sowing into. So if God places it on your heart, you can see Nick and Mike at the table in the back. They can get you signed up for an SOS partner for $30 or more a month. And we also have a card that you might have received on Tuesday and Wednesday, from noon on Tuesday to noon on Wednesday. Everything that you put up to $100 on a credit card will get doubled. And I think our goal is like $150,000. So if you're able to do it on that day as well, that would be amazing. But in closing, we thank you and we honor you. And I just ask that you keep believing in these men so they'll believe in themselves. Because for the longest time, I always like to share that about a cup. I used to smoke, right? And I had a cup out on the back porch. The cup was made for holding water. It wasn't made for ashes and trash and stuff that I put in it, right? Well, once these guys realize the identity that they have, that they're made for holding water and they're not made for holding trash, their whole lives will change. Right? Amen? God bless you guys.
Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you for that. Because you men have faced challenges. And you have challenges ahead. But the Lord told us that. In this life, we're going to face tribulation. We're going to face challenges. But we're not alone. He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. I've overcome the challenges you're going to face. All you need to do is keep your eyes on Him. Give Him your heart and keep your eyes on Him. And He'll bring you through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We support, this church supports Loving Hands Ministry on a monthly basis. You can do that on your own, as well as, you know, through the church. We also have a special offering check for them today that I'm going to present to Travis. There you go, brother. Today, we live in a world where one wrong choice can end your life. Somebody pushing you to do something just one time and you're done. And these men are stepping out. They're the way the Lord is combating that through their life, through their testimony, through what they're doing. They're giving that life, their life, back to the Lord. And he's going to use these men to help someone survive. Someone is going to survive because of what they're doing. Because the Lord is in it. Is God good?
Yes.
All the time. Does God have a plan for your life?
Yes.
Yes, He does. And it's a plan for good and not for evil. But there is an unknown factor in there, isn't there? How are we going to respond to the Lord's plan? And if we respond in obedience to His plan, yes, good will come. That's the key. Responding in obedience. And then He can lift you up. But when you don't respond in obedience, He can't do that. Because He's a righteous and holy God. He wants to lift you up. That is His desire. To lift you up. He Himself said, if it were to me, I would that all would be saved. But we are the factor that has to choose Him. And so I hope today that you will make that choice to live for Jesus.
Amen.
Walk in the Holy Spirit. Obey His promptings. And give God the glory through your actions, not just your words. Walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I thank you gentlemen today for coming and sharing your testimonies. I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. But you have prevailed. You have let the Holy Spirit work through you and overcome. Lord bless you for what you've done. Now what I want to do now is I want to ask all the elders to come up. I want you men to come up here. And gather around in a group. I want the elders to come up. We're going to pray for these men. We're going to lay hands on them. Yep. Kind of just make a circle. Just make a circle here. Now, while we're praying, you're praying. You can even lift a hand out, you know, put your arm out towards them and you pray. Brother Owen, I'm going to ask you to lift these men up in their journey to serve the Lord.
Blessed Heavenly Father. Today we rejoice to know, Lord, that when you sent your Son into this world to redeem us, it was not just for the moment, Lord, but it was forever. Because He said, Him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out.
Amen. Amen.
Today, Lord, we are seeing where men are still giving their lives to you, Lord. The road may not be easy, and the times may not be as we desire them, Lord. But Father, as Jesus said, Lord, I don't want you to take them out of the world. I just want you to deliver them from the evils of this world. And Father, here are these young men, Lord, who have turned aside, Lord, and opened their hearts to you, Father. Oh, we know, Lord, how terrible this can be and how hard it can be. But in Christ, we have strength.
Amen.
In Christ, we can walk.
Amen.
In Christ, Lord, we have all that we need, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
You tell us to cast all our cares upon you, Lord, because you care for us. Father, watch over these young men. Watch over the work of their hands, Lord. Comfort them. Strengthen them, Lord. When the enemy comes up against them, Lord, you say that your spirit will rise up a standard, Lord. And they will be made victorious in you. Therefore, Lord, we can always look to you with confidence
to prevail.
Know that, Lord, our efforts are not in vain.
Praise God.
Oh, glory to God to know, Lord,
always.
We have a Savior.
Yes.
We have a Redeemer.
Yes.
We have one Lord who stands before your throne on our behalf, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
God, watch over these men, Lord.
Yes.
Watch over them, Lord. Watch over them. Oh, Father, watch over them. Embrace them with your arms, Lord. Comfort them with your words. And when tears come to their eyes, Lord, would you dry them, Lord? And keep them. Oh, they are so precious before you. Thank you, Lord, that they are able to stand up and to declare before us all the good work you have done
you,
in your
Lord.
Lives, Lord.
All for you, Lord.
And I pray that, Lord, their lives will continue to sow good seeds
wherever
they go, Lord. Wherever they go. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with them as they continue, Lord. We lift them up before you once again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.